This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been following us through Luke's Gospel, we would have seen the miraculous birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. Then we would have seen Jesus declared to be the Son of God by his baptism. And then we've seen him resist the world, the flesh, and the devil, and prove himself faithful to the will of his Father in heaven in the wilderness. And now Jesus returns to Galilee. He comes back to his hometown, filled with the Holy Spirit, to begin his ministry. And here in Luke 4, we get given his manifesto. Like, if you want to know who is Jesus and what is he about, this is it. This is his mission and this is his message. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, he says, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Freedom for the captives, sight to the blind, the oppressed set free, the year of the Lord's favor. That is Jesus' mission. And then he sits down and he says to all those looking, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What's remarkable about that is this, that Jesus didn't come to talk about good news. Jesus didn't come to talk about a message. Jesus came to bring it about. Jesus is God's messenger who has been sent to upend the entire order of the world, which is so used to giving bad news to the poor. He has come to bring about God's purposes, to bring good news to the poor. And when he says the year of the Lord's favor, he's not talking about a calendar year. This isn't 2026, the year of the Lord's favor, although I hope it is. He is saying that with me, there is now a new era, a new epoch. The dawn has come on a new age, the age of God's grace, the age of God's favor and God's blessing. And I, Jesus, am the one who is bringing that age about. Scripture is fulfilled in me. That's Jesus's message. Good news to the poor. Now, I think it's worth asking at this point, who are the poor? Who does Jesus mean when he comes to proclaim good news to the poor? And I think when we come to answer this question, we tend to fall into a sort of dualism and a sort of dichotomy, because we love to do this. We love to create a divide between spiritual realities and social realities. And I think many of us will do this when we come to understanding the poor. Some of us will lean towards a spiritual understanding. We'll spiritualize this. The poor, it's all a spiritual metaphor. And some of us on the other side will take this purely as a social, economic, and political statement. The poor are the economically poor, the politically poor, and the social poor. But I want to say this dualism, this divide between a spiritual realm and a social realm is a complete modern invention. It's a fabrication because it doesn't accurately reflect reality. Reality is not so easily divided into the spiritual and the social. No, the reality of the world we live in is a one, whole, and integrated reality where the social and the spiritual are together. And this dichotomy between the two is totally foreign to the world of the Bible and the teaching and the understanding of Jesus. So we need to do away with it. But why do we have the dichotomy in the first place? Well, the reason is because it serves our purposes. It benefits us to create a separation between the spiritual and the social, because it means that our spiritual life and our spiritual belief don't have to have any implications on our social life, our economic life, and our political life. So we keep them apart. But that's not what it means to follow Jesus. So if we want to know who the poor are, free from our modern dichotomies and dualisms, the best thing that we can do is read the text. We read Luke's gospel, we're going to encounter many of the poor whom Jesus has come to give good news to. And if we go through Luke and we encounter the people that receive this good news, we get a pretty good image of who the poor are. So let's look at them. Who are the poor according to Luke? Well, they're the demon-possessed. They're the sick, the paralyzed, the lame and infirm. They're the lepers, the religiously unclean and the immoral. They're the tax collectors, those greedy cheats, those compromisers and exploiters who exploit the poor for themselves to get rich, those perpetrators of injustice. It's the widows, the women and children held in low social regard. It's prostitutes, Gentiles, enemies, criminals, grieving parents, all the sinners and the outsiders, they are the poor in Luke's gospel. Anyone who has been pushed to the margins, has been told and made to believe and come to believe themselves that they are beyond the realm of God's concern, of God's grace, of God's love. They are the poor. The poor is far more than just a financial category, but it's also more than just a spiritual category. And I think we're actually aware of this, because I think we're very aware that you can have all the money in the world and yet still be so lonely and broken within. And I think we're aware that you can have absolutely nothing and yet be so filled with pride that you'd never acknowledge your need and your poverty before God. Jesus has come to proclaim good news to the poor. So if that is who the poor is, the question then remains, what is the news that Jesus is bringing? And the news that Jesus brings is really the employing of three different Old Testament motifs. Jesus uses the motif of the Exodus, the motif of the exile, and the motif of the year of Jubilee. So the exile. The exile is that big redemptive episode in the Old Testament where God, with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, rescued his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them out into the Promised Land, a place of freedom and abundance. And Jesus is saying that he is bringing about a new exodus. He is bringing people out of bondage to sin, to death, out of bondage to structures and systems that corrode our life. And he is bringing us into the life and freedom of his kingdom. A new exodus, Jesus is proclaiming. But Jesus is also proclaiming the end of exile. He is bringing about a return home for all who have lived far off and settled far from the presence of God. All who live without God in the world, Jesus has come to call them home, to call back the lost, and to call people into the loving presence of God. And finally, Jesus has come to announce the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is described for us in Leviticus 25. It's a year that happened every 49 years, where all debts were cancelled, slaves were set free, and land was given back to its original owners. And it's a year that has a realism to it. It's a year that understands the realities of poverty, of injustice, of structural inequality, of human tragedy and grief. It's a year that acknowledges that in destitution and desperation, people may be forced to sell all that they own, perhaps even themselves or their children, into servitude. And this year comes to say, that's not right. That's not God's will for this world. And the year of Jubilee comes to bring restoration, to bring repair, and to bring redemption, and to say that's not God's heart for the world. The year of Jubilee is. But the year of Jubilee is not an end in itself. It's always pointing, and it's pointing forward. And it's pointing forward to a hoped-for day when God himself would come and would establish his kingdom of Jubilee on earth, where slaves would be freed, an end of poverty, not just for a year, but forever. The end of suffering, of grief, of sorrow, where all things would be restored and redeemed, all things repaired and made right, all things brought to a state of wholeness and shalom, where all things would be declared to be well. And in that day, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. And Jesus is saying that in me, this Jubilee kingdom of God has come. Today is the year of the Lord's favor. So, how do people respond to this message? Well, it's interesting. The people respond, the response at first is ambivalent. I mean, some seem to be excited by it, some are a bit confused, but after a while, everyone begins to ask the same question, which is, hang on, isn't this Joseph's son? And they ask this question, I think, for two reasons. One group of people are going, hang on a bit. You're here making these great statements about who you are and God's purposes, but I know you. I know your family. I know where you grew up. I went to school with you. You're not that special. Well, why are you claiming all this? We know your father. We know where you come from. And so they treat Jesus with a level of contempt. And they ask the question, isn't this just Joseph's son? But I think there are other people there who are really excited that this is Joseph's son. Because they're going, there's this man proclaiming God's favor, proclaiming God's blessing. And guess what? It's Joseph's son. I know him. I know his father. I know his friends. I went to school with him. If he's proclaiming blessing, who's going to receive it? Me. We're going to benefit from this because he's one of us. And Jesus sees their response to him. And what does he say? He says, look, you'll no doubt quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself and do for us what we heard you do in Capernaum. In other words, to those treating Jesus with contempt, he's saying, you're asking for a sign for me to prove myself and I'm not going to give it to you. And for you who think you're going to get some special benefit and dispensation because of your proximity to me, that's not what I've come to do. And then he tells these stories from the books of Kings about the prophets Elijah and Elisha, two examples where the people of Israel were suffering in great poverty, but these two prophets were sent outside of the boundaries of Israel to a Gentile widow and to a Syrian leper, and they brought God's favor and blessing to them. And at this, all the people turn against Jesus. They turn violently against him because they realize that he is not there to serve their expectations. And they turn away from him. It's interesting, in this passage, we see Jesus' steadfastness in the face of rejection. Jesus isn't here to meet anyone's expectations. He's not here to pander to their desires, to preach what they want to hear. He is here, filled with the Holy Spirit, to deliver the message that God has given him. And if that means rejection, so be it. Later on in Jesus' life, when he is on the cross giving his life, people say a very similar thing to him. Instead of physician, heal yourself, they say, if you are the Son of Man, come down, save yourself. It's really similar. But here's the thing. Jesus does not come down. Jesus does not save himself. Jesus, the great physician, does not heal himself. At great expense to himself, he saves others and he heals others. And if he listened to the desires of the people to save himself and to heal himself, then there would be no good news proclaimed to the poor. No, Jesus resolutely proclaims good news to the poor in face of rejection all the way to the cross, where the good news to the poor is revealed. This is who Jesus is and what he has come to do. So what does this mean for us today? I want to leave you with just one thing. One thing. It's simple, but perhaps harder than we think. All I want you to do today is to hear this message of grace. To hear this message of grace spoken by Jesus, whoever you are, to hear his proclamation of good news. And not just to hear it, but to allow your hearts to receive it. And to let go of all our false projections of ourselves, our projections of strength, of beauty, of togetherness. To be free from the demands of keeping up, of having to be impressive towards other people. To experience the liberation of accepting your own weakness and your own failure and your poverty and your neediness before God. To meet in the midst of your tiredness, your loneliness, your self-doubt, your grief and your guilt, the voice of Jesus who comes to declare, even unto you, good news. Jesus who comes to proclaim freedom. Freedom for all those trapped in cycles of addiction or hurt. Freedom from the constant need to acquire and to achieve. Freedom from the guilt of sin and the gnawing fear of death. Freedom from all who are held captive in this world. To come and hear the voice of Jesus as he calls us, as he calls you, home. All the uprooted, all the lost, all the confused, all the listless and directionless, the straying and the disobedient, all those entrenched in a past they feel cannot be redeemed, all those stuck in a present that feels unsolvable, all those that look to a future without hope. To hear the words of Jesus, who calls you home and proclaims the end of exile, a new exodus, and that today is the year of Jubilee. For Jesus has come, and he has come to proclaim good news to the poor. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.